Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
The delivery. Swing and a miss on an off-speed delivery. And he gets his second strikeout. First one here in the ninth. And out to the mound goes Yadier Molina. Now the trainer comes out along with the pitching coach and the manager. Evidently hurt himself on that last pitch.
We do. It's favorable. He just felt a little fatigue in his tricep area. Nothing too crazy, just a little more of a cramp. We'll do imaging. It's not like we feel like we need to do imaging right now because it's not an area we feel like there's anything structural or UCL related or anything like that. Doctors feel optimistic. He feels good. We'll get more as we go, but favorable news.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, that's a rough piece of news to kick off your week. Welcome in, everyone. A happy Monday. Alex Ferrario with you on a beautiful afternoon and evening here in downtown St. Louis. Not beautiful for Cardinals fans, though. Jordan Hicks, a UCL tear. Possibly the worst news that this Cardinals club could have received on an off day. Like, I don't know what could have been worse than Jordan Hicks getting a UCL tear. I mean, one of the brightest spots on this team this season has been the bullpen. Despite the blow up that happened last night against the Angels, giving up four runs in the top of the ninth and scoring those off of John Gant, still the bullpen has been very impressive. And now it takes about as big of a shot as you could give it to Jordan Hicks with a UCL tear. We'll talk a lot about it tonight. Happy to have you along. We are here until 7 o'clock this evening, and then we are taking you into a special St. Louis Munganess, St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line event as we are bringing you Game 7 of that Stanley Cup Final between the Blues and Bruins. It'll go from 7 to 10 o'clock, reliving that magical Wednesday night, which is incredible to sit here and say that on Wednesday, it will be 2 weeks. Feels like forever ago. 2 weeks since this team has won the Stanley, the Stanley Cup, and the celebration continues. So that's from 7 to 10 o'clock tonight. We got Will Leach joining us at around 6:30 tonight. Talk a lot of baseball, the national correspondent for MLB.com. And of course, we'll get into some Blues talk as well. If you want to hop in with us, you can. 314-436-7900, telephone number and text line. You can also tweet me at Ferrario KMOX or tweet us at KMOX Sports. So let's start with the big news, and that is the Jordan Hicks stuff. As we mentioned, a big blow to this roster. No doubt the most frustrating part about it was the downplaying of the severity from Saturday up until now. You already heard manager Mike Shildt after the game on Saturday. And look, at that point, you're not going to dive into doing an MRI after a game if the medical staff feels like it's just some type of cramp. And that's what Mike Shildt said it was just a cramp. But Sunday was a different message.
Haven't heard a lot from Jordan, his treatment. No, he got in a little while ago and hadn't had treatment yet. Going to be some soreness there, I'm sure, and just got some tendonitis in his tricep. There's nothing that, as of now, indicates anything very long-term or even longer, you know, shorter-term concern. You know, nothing structural, no imaging feels necessary at this point. If he still has some soreness a couple of days, you know, we'll take a deeper dive.
Something I don't know if you want to go into a couple of days with the severity of something like this. I mean, you got a guy who's throwing over 100 miles an hour consistently, worried that this could be something severe, even if it was a tricep at the time. John Mozeliak had a different message Sunday morning.
I hope so. You know, you never want to speak in absolutes here, but did have a brief conversation with our trainer this morning as well. And he's pretty optimistic that this shouldn't be too concerning.
So the term optimistic used an awful lot for this team. And again, that's the most frustrating part from this, is the downplay of the severity of this injury for Jordan Hicks. And look, you're taking a guy who, yes, he's got around a 3 ERA, but he's also 22 years old, and you hope that this doesn't result in a Tommy John surgery. Now, the Cardinals are saying that as of right now, they're awaiting further discussion on the decision of what to do with Jordan Hicks. But you hope it doesn't get to that point, because 22 years old, look, we've already seen what a Tommy John surgery can do to a pitcher, Alex Reyes, who we'll talk about in a couple of moments. Now, the optimistic side of me is searching for some type of answer that this doesn't result in Tommy John surgery. And if you go to 2014, when Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees had a partial UCL tear, the team doctors and the Yankees and Tanaka opted to not go for Tommy John surgery, but to rehab it and hopefully avoid that. They rehabbed it for 4 months. Tanaka returned in September, made 2 starts, and has been fine ever since. Now, you can get into this discussion of a partial tear compared to a full tear, or even if you want to take a chance on that for a 22-year-old. But at the end of the day, you look for some type of optimism, and maybe that is it. But right now, that is the worst news that the Cardinals could receive, is losing one of their top pitchers in the bullpen. And look, that's going to juggle some things around. It's going to have to move some situations around. I think, one, that puts you in a position where Carlos Martinez cannot join the rotation, because he's a weapon that you will need now in dire situations. You know, the positive is that they didn't keep Hicks in that game to try and get the final out. Mike Schilt and Yadier Molina called it immediately and said, nope, get him out of there. They got him out and they moved forward. So hopefully it's something that can be resolved without Tommy John surgery. But again, we're going to have to wait to find out about that. So to me, now this team has to come together and be better. I mean, it sounds cliche, but look, you're going to have to score more runs. You're going to have better starting pitching. And you're going to have to rely on the guys out of your bullpen in depth right now. Because without Jordan Hicks, the load falls on to guys like Giovanni Gallegos, who has been very impressive for this team, Carlos Martinez, Andrew Miller, John Gant, who in my opinion could become the closer, and some of the guys in the minor league system. Which leads me to my second top point tonight to start things off. Alex Reyes. Now, he left the game yesterday after the second inning, threw a pitch, and you could see frustration. He tossed the ball in the air, shook his head, manager came out, and that was it for Alex Reyes. And as you know, the injuries have plagued Alex, with Tommy John surgeries and shoulder injuries and punching wall injuries. Here's Michael Gersh's update.
So Alex left his start yesterday with some soreness in his pectoral muscle. The Memphis is on the road, so he hasn't seen any of our doctors yet. He saw the local doctor in Oklahoma City. They're flying back to Memphis tonight, so he'll see the Memphis doctors, and we'll get a better sense of sort of where he's at. But he's, you know, going to be shut down for some period of time, hopefully short.
So look, now you're losing Alex Reyes, and you don't know what this is going to be. I mean, a shoulder situation is not something you want to mess around with, just like you don't want to mess around with a UCL tear. And without Alex Reyes, your depth continues to dwindle. I mean, you started off the season possibly having the deepest pitching staff in all of Major League Baseball, or at least the National League. But now you have no update with Austin Gomber. Now you are without Alex Reyes. Jordan Hicks is gone. You've DFA'd a couple of your relievers, And you're in a sticky situation now with guys either in the rotation or coming out of the bullpen. So the Cardinals are going to have to do some maneuvering now. And I don't think if you were to talk to any of the front office members, pitching is as much of a problem to them as hitting is right now. But I don't think you're going to see an upgrade with hitting. I think they have faith in what they have offensively and that they'll break out of the slumps that they're in and come around. Or at least the depth is going to help out with hitting. If they're looking at upgrades come trade deadline time, you're looking at pitching. First it was starting, but now you wonder if it has to be to bullpen help. Because look, you're in the thick of this thing right now. 2 games back of first place in the NL Central. The Cubs are playing the Braves. And I think you'll really get an idea of what move is going to be needed after the next 4 series, which leads you into the All-Star break. Because if you look at those 4 series, you play some underperforming teams. You have 2 against the Oakland Athletics starting tomorrow. You got the San Diego Padres, the Seattle Mariners, and the San Francisco Giants. But then after that All-Star break, it's the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Reds, and the Cubs. And on top of all of that, you're on the road for those next three out of the four series, that is, after the Oakland one, which has not been a good area for you. So all of those factors go into play with this. It'll be interesting to see what Cardinals brass have to say tomorrow at Busch Stadium about this news with Jordan Hicks and, you know, if they're going to have to go out there and find some help. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, what's going on?
Well, isn't Tommy John surgery usually the elbow?
Yeah, it's usually the elbow.
Okay, well, I thought they said the injury was in his tricep.
Well, that was the initial thought. The tricep tendonitis was the initial thought, and now it's come out that it's a UCL tear, which has resulted in the arm, which would essentially take you to the elbow, which UCLs normally lead to Tommy John surgeries.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's the part I was unclear of. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something. But if they would kind of get back to Whitey ball, which we know they'll never do, and play smaller ball and hit the ball rather than strike out or hit a home run, I would rather see that.
Well, I agree, Kevin. We'll talk about that with Will Leach coming up in our next segment. One thought on Albert Pujols. Boy, what an ovation it was yesterday. 5 at-bats for Albert, and Cardinals Nation thought that 4th at-bat was going to be the last one. And he got up there one last time because of that 56-minute ninth inning that we had between the Cardinals and Angels. But the final ovation was just incredible. A curtain call for a guy who wraps up his historic career, potentially ever playing a game here again in St. Louis. It was just awesome to see from Cardinals Nation and awesome to see from the city of St. Louis to treat a guy like Albert Pujols like that. You know, eight years is plenty of time to wipe that slate clean and appreciate what he did for the history of baseball here in St. Louis, rather than leaving with a lot of unconfirmed stories from a lot of fans of what actually happened in the conversations between the Cardinals and Albert Pujols. So that was really fun to see. A couple of other notes I wanted to touch on before we get to Will Leach, and we'll join him coming up in about 5-6 minutes here on the St. Louis Munganess Honda Sports Open Line. Has anybody been paying attention to this New York Mets drama that has been taking place? So if you don't know what happened, yesterday the Mets lost a game to the Chicago Cubs off of a 3-run home run to Javier Baez late in the game. I believe it was the 7th or 8th inning that he hit that home run. The Mets were into the bullpen. They had a 1-run lead, and they had Seth Lugo on the mound. And I believe it was in the 8th inning. They needed 5 outs to win the game. And after about 40 pitches, Seth Lugo remained on the mound. Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, didn't opt to go to Edwin Diaz because he doesn't believe in having Diaz get 5 outs as a closer. Only believes 3 outs for Edwin Diaz as a closer, which is just crazy to me. So it results in Lugo being overworked, a home run to Javier Baez, and an ugly loss to the New York Mets. Got even uglier, though. After the game, Callaway kind of gets agitated with a writer covering a beat writer that's covering the New York Mets. After the scrum, the New York Mets writer allegedly said, "Have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow." And Mickey Callaway, who was agitated at the time, decided to go off on that writer and call him a couple of choice words. Got even further that Jason Vargas, the Mets pitcher, threatened the beat writer and told him that he would knock him the F out, verbatim. So things turn into a Jerry Springer moment in the New York Mets clubhouse. And this is what some of the talk was today after the Mets issued apology. Here's Mickey Callaway.
No, I understand that, I can't control the actions of others or the words of others, but I can always control my reaction to those things. So, I think everybody deserves respect, regardless of job title or role. And, I hope people can understand that this is a tough game played by passionate competitors. And I hope moving forward that we can all do our jobs honestly, critically, and understand that other people are involved.
How the heck is a guy supposed to do his job when if he asks a question or is just genuinely being polite to somebody, he gets threatened to get beat up? Here's Jason Vargas.
I think everybody's aware of the situation that happened yesterday. I think it's unfortunate for all parties. An unfortunate distraction. But tonight we got the Phillies to play. The team's addressed the situation. The organization's made a statement. And, that's really all there is to it. So thanks for taking your time, and we'll see you guys after the game.
That ticks me off more than anything. You know what really grinds my gears on that? Not once out of those two talking, and that was just cuts from it. They went on for about 5 minutes each. Not once did they say they were sorry or apologize for what happened. Callaway said that he privately apologized to the beat writer, but not once on camera did they apologize. Just brushed it off as a distraction. Unreal. One more for you before we break. Blues wrap up a draft weekend. 3 forwards, 2 goaltenders taken. We'll talk a lot about the offseason for the Blues and for the NHL a little bit later tonight at the bottom of the hour, but I'm amazed at how many fans were upset by 2 goaltenders being taken, thinking that Jordan Binnington was the savior. Yes, Binnington has been a savior, but boy, oh boy, do you need depth, and the Blues did that with 5 picks, and according to a lot of national writers and a lot of national prospect scouts, said that the Blues did a pretty darn good job with only 5 picks and none in the first round. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but coming up in 4 minutes, we're going to check in with Will Leach, national correspondent for MLB.com. He was in St. Louis for the Albert Pujols return, and we're going to talk Jordan Hicks with him next on your home for the best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back in on a Monday night, Alex Ferrario with you. Day off for the Cardinals before they get set for a 2-game home series against the Oakland Athletics. Don't forget, we're going to re-air Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up in the 7 o'clock hour all the way up until 10 o'clock tonight, so you'll get to relive that magical moment that happened almost 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night. But now let's dive deeper into the baseball news. As you've heard already, Jordan Hicks with the UCL tear. We'll have to find out and wait what the Cardinals brass decide what the next step is for Jordan Hicks. But who better to come in and talk a little baseball with us than Will Leach, who was in St. Louis for this past weekend with Albert Pujols in town. Will Leach, national correspondent for MLB. You can follow him on Twitter at William F. Leach. That's L-E-I-T-C-H. Will, it's great to have you on KMOX as always, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. It's always a whirlwind of emotions when it comes to the Cardinals this year, right? The crazy pool series followed with Hicks. It's hard to keep your head on. You have to keep your head on a swivel, I suppose.
That's what I feel like in St. Louis, from the Stanley Cup to the Stanley Cup parade to Albert Pujols' return to now the news of Jordan Hicks. You know, I was going to start off with the positive stuff of watching Albert Pujols' return to St. Louis, but I know Cardinals fans want to get your thought on the news for Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, it's certainly unfortunate. You know, as obviously I was at that game Saturday when that happened. I actually thought it was I was originally kind of excited. I remember when Schilt kind of took over as manager, there was always this idea that they weren't going to worry about having a closer. They weren't going to use a traditional closer. They were just going to use their best pitcher for the best situation. I kind of liked that Hicks was brought in for the eighth to do that. I thought that was kind of a smart thing, but then they kind of kept him in for the ninth, and I don't think that had anything to do with his injury, but I think it speaks to how Hicks is such a talented guy, but they really kind of forced him into the role of a closer, and I think that it is definitely important. I don't see any situation, you see injuries like this, it doesn't, that he is so young that the you don't want to mess around with it. This feels like an obvious shut it down sort of situation. I feel like as far as these things go, the way he was being used, as the exclusive closer guy. The back end of the Cardinals bullpen has been looking pretty good all year, and now I suspect John Gant's going to become a bigger part of it. So I think there's value in the bullpen. And so for this year's team, certainly the bullpen was not the thing that you were mostly worried about, but you really just worry about him personally. Obviously, he's so young. He's got plenty of time to come back from that, but listen, no one in, frankly, baseball history has thrown the ball as hard as Jordan Hicks does. But this is what happens, right? This is basically what baseball is now. It's people throwing as hard as they can and eventually something snapping. And unfortunately, it's happened to Jordan Hicks.
Well, and I felt like people were just waiting for this to happen. And I know how terrible that sounds, but when you throw over 100 miles an hour on a consistent basis, you're kind of wondering when that snap is going to happen. And you know, you mentioned it, Will, there's not really a better option than shutting him down. And, you know, if you look back, and I was looking at it, Masahiro Tanaka back in 2014, when he and the team opted no surgery and just did some rehab, and he returned and went through it. But that was a partial tear. And when you got a 22-year-old like this, I think that is the only option that you want to do with him, because you don't want to stunt his career any further than this.
Yeah, Tanaka was more of a veteran pitcher, and the Yankees had already kind of invested so much money in him that I think I think both sides were willing to kind of fight it through. And I think the news is still kind of early coming in, but it seems like maybe a more severe tear than that. And more to the point, I mean, for Crown, I remember when he got called up last year, he like pitched just a little bit in Single A. It was always a surprise that he was so young and coming in throwing so hard. It would frankly seem irresponsible to do anything other than that. You know, this is a guy that's still very young, still has a long future in the Cardinals organization. People go through this surgery and come back throwing just as hard. So, you know, there's no reason to think that this is something that's going to stop him. Frankly, if he would have been brought along on the traditional kind of curve when people are brought up, he really wouldn't be coming into the majors for another year or so anyway. So I feel like Hicks was always kind of this found weapon. I don't think he was ever considered like this major prospect. He was just considered so young that they didn't know quite what they had. I will say that there's a lot of time for him to come back. And I will say it's obviously very sad what happened. If you have to have one memory to kind of keep you to hold on to for the next year and a half until he comes back, that strikeout of Mike Trout is a pretty good one. That was really it was a reminder of what he was able to do. And frankly, you know, this is not the end. I'm sure it feels like the end to Jordan Hicks because he's young, he's never really faced this kind of adversity. People will go through this surgery and come out fine. And so I think that this is hardly the end of anything. He is young enough, and the Cardinals have team control over him long enough that it's not like they're still not going to be able to get a lot of value out of him. I think it's more a matter of worried about the 2019 and 2020 teams rather than what the Cardinals will be able to get out of Jordan Hicks eventually.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're talking with Will Leach of MLB.com joining us here on the St. Louis Munganess and Honda Sports Open Line. And Will, right now you kind of wonder if this Cardinals team is going to have to make a move. You know, with the uncertainty of return of Alex Reyes and the uncertainty of Austin Gomber and the depth starting to get smaller and smaller for the pitching staff, Cardinals are still in the thick of this thing, and although the offense is in a slump, and I guarantee if you were to talk to anybody on the management side, they think that the slump is going to break, the pitching staff is the area that I think you have to wonder if a move is going to be needed now with this Hicks injury.
Yeah, on one hand, I understand. I watched this team in April, and I definitely understand why there would be optimism for this team to break out. I also kind of feel like I've been hearing this team's just got to get it together and get it straightened out for 3-4 years right now. And I think that speaks to a lot of the fan frustration, to be honest. I think everybody sees what this team could be, but they haven't been that for a while. And, you know, I think that this is, it's funny because obviously the Hicks injury is obviously very upsetting, but you know, if there's a place the Cardinals could take a hit, it feels like the late inning bullpen is actually that place. As I think Miller started to come around. Obviously, Gant has been great. Gallegos has been terrific in a way that I think has really kind of been underappreciated. So I think there are guys there that you can take a big bat out of the lineup or take someone out of the rotation. I think it would be more painful, at least in the short term. I think that's the thing with the at-bats right now. Like, the problem is not that the Cardinals can't hit. We saw in April that they have the ability to hit. It's that whenever, like, they don't have a lot of margin for error, particularly when you're looking, like, I love Harrison Bader, Colton Wong, they've done a terrific job on defense, but they're 8-9 hitters right now, and And if Matt Carpenter is struggling and Paul Goldschmidt's not hitting like the MVP that we all kind of expected, and Paul DeJong has come back to earth a little bit while still being a good player, all of a sudden you look around, there's like four open spots in the lineup. So, yeah, they've been very fortunate and they've been very lucky that the Cubs and the Brewers have not taken off the way that the Twins have. But, yeah, certainly you'll hope that this is the sort of thing that pushes the Cardinals into urgency because, again, this could be 4 years if they don't make – they're not in the playoffs right now. And if they could be 4 years without them making the playoffs, and I think sometimes it gets understated how much that's going to kind of upset the fan base.
Well, and you put it in your article, Will, when you wrote it about Albert Pujols' return to St. Louis, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, but you put it in there of how, you know, once Albert Pujols left in 2011, they switched from a team that was spending to bring in players to a team that was going to go with their depth. And, you know, at this point, you don't want to miss the postseason four consecutive years because I would think you get to the point where you view the John Mozeliak era as missed opportunity of taking an advantage of missing out in the postseason and doing something like the Houston Astros did where you're building rather than just being kind of in the middle of the pack and not being able to do much.
That's exactly right. I think, you know, I have always admired this current management teams for their desire to not do that, to not do what the Cubs did and what the Astros did, and really what I think seven or eight teams, if more, not more, in baseball are doing right now, and kind of the general a competitive window. The Cardinals are always trying to compete, and that is something admirable, and I think it's a strategy that has worked for a while, but at a certain level, I'll put it this way. Look at the Baltimore Orioles right now. The Baltimore Orioles are starting over. They're completely starting over across the board. They've got a whole new management team, including a lot of people that used to work for the Cardinals and the Astros back in the day. They're completely starting over. They're looking at 4 years without the playoffs as the absolute maximum. They feel like even with the starting over, they would like to be competitive and getting back in the playoffs in the next 3 or 4 years. The Cardinals have not reset, and they still haven't made the playoffs in 4 years. And I think that is the worry on this. I understand the strategy, but you have to be able to execute the strategy. And certainly I understand why Cardinal fans, it seems weird to me to, if you are a fan of the sports team, people root for tanky. I'm a Knicks fan in basketball, and they're always rooting for their team to lose. So it's always kind of a weird idea. So I understand why fans would never want to root for their team to lose. But you certainly look back, if they miss the playoffs this year, that's 4 years without making the playoffs, but also not having started over. And I think that's the concern, and that's the worry. And so I think that that would lead to a greater urgency among the management team, because 4 years at the playoffs is a really long time anywhere, and in St. Louis, it's basically an eternity.
Yeah, in St. Louis, 4 years feels like it's about 20 years of missing the postseason, and a lot of people will not stand for that. Will, on a positive side, man, what a weekend it was, and overshadowed a little by the Jordan Hicks news, but having Albert Pujols back, having a standing ovation every single time his at-bat, 2 curtain calls, a home run. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better narrative of Albert Pujols' return and possible last time in Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
It was wonderful. it was wonderful in every possible way. And I think it's worth remembering, too, that it very well could not have been. Like, I think you look at what happened with Bryce Harper going back and playing in Washington this year. I think it's obviously cool from St. Louis was a different situation than Harper in Washington. But if he would have come back in 2012, I mean, people all love Albert Pujols, but that's not the perception he gets. If the Angels come back at the Busch Stadium in 2012, I think that there's enough time has passed, as I kind of wrote my article for MLB.com, enough time has passed to where we can look back, and not only can we look back and see Pujols when he was at his peak capacity, when he was in the machine and El Hombre and this great player, as opposed to what he is now, you can also look back and there's a brighter days for the Cardinals too. Like the Cardinals, Pujols is not what he was in 2011, and the Cardinals aren't either. And I think that is a certain notion that it led to an extra wistfulness and I think an extra appreciation of kind of what he did. I think people were frustrated. I was frustrated. I think a lot of fans were very upset. I think we all understood. And I think it ultimately turned out to be a good deal for the Cardinals. They didn't give him that contract. But anyone that was a fan of the Cardinals in 2011, Albert Pujols was supposed to be a Cardinal for life. I mean, that was just something we all said kind of thought was going to happen. So there were some hurt feelings and some upsetness about that. So I'm glad it was long enough. It felt good to be able to go out and just cheer for him unabashedly and to be able to let so much of that old stuff go. To the point, I was in the game with my dad, who I've been talking about with the Cardinals for our entire lives, and we were like, remember when Griffey came back to the Mariners his last year of his career? Maybe. It was such good feeling about the whole thing that it, like, that's something I would have never considered a possibility. I still don't think it's likely, but it's the sort of thing that felt good to have that, for him to be able to feel that. And I'm glad he was able to feel that. I'm glad he can come to peace with that. But I also thought it was good for the fan base. I thought it was good for them. It was a tumultuous time when he left. It was really, there were just a lot of hard feelings. And so the fact that he, everyone felt like, you know what, we're busting out that old five Pujols jersey and screaming like crazy. And when he hit that homer, not to say the Cardinals haven't had the best few years, but that's probably as loud as a homer that cheers for at Busch Stadium, maybe since Tommy Pham's in the 2015 playoffs against the Cubs. It was a wonderful moment, and it felt kind of cleansing. It got rid of some of that ugliness that I think had been there in the past.
Well, and I can only imagine how loud that place would have been if that grand slam would have happened, right?
I will say the homer on Saturday was the platonic ideal homer because the Cardinals were already up 4-0.
Right.
I will say the grand slam would have been fine because I guess we already accepted the game was lost at that point. But Saturday was good. That's what you want, right? You want, I think that's fine. It's one thing to be happy that Albert Pujols has hit a home run in his return to Busch Stadium. If the Cardinals were up 6-3 with the bases loaded in the top of the ninth and hit a grand slam, I'm sure there still would be cheers, but they would have been more reserved. I do think people still wanted to win the game. It was just a perfect day. The concerns about the weather, and that cleared up in a perfect way. It really just felt, you couldn't ask for it to be any better. And I just felt happy that he got to have that, and probably even more so the Cardinal fans got to have it.
No doubt about it. Will Leach, we love having you on here on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX, man, the national correspondent for MLB.com. Check out his work. Follow him on Twitter at William F. Leach. Will, have a great rest of your night, man. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
There you go. Will Leach. So true, though. Like, it was a perfect way to hit a home run. You were up. You knew the win was going to happen, but you wanted to see that Albert Pujols home run, and you got to see it. We'll come back and wrap things up, talk a little Blues offseason next on the St. Louis Mung & S Honda Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Mung & S St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Mung & S St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We got a couple of minutes before we break for the top of the hour news and then get you to that replay of Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final. Blues in Boston Bruins. It's coming your way at 7 o'clock after the news up until 10 o'clock this evening. Thank you to Will Leach for hopping on with us. Thank you to Alex Muskoff for all of his help. And, of course, our executive sports director, Ben Boyd. Real quick, Blues thought. Is the draft wrapped up? The NHL is getting insane right now. If you missed it, P.K. Subban was traded to the New Jersey Devils at the draft. He had a couple of other big-time trades go through. And right now, the Blues, who sit with $17.2 million of cap space, have to decide what they're going to do with some of their restricted and unrestricted free agents. Look, Binnington, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be re-signed. It's just a matter of how he's going to be re-signed. Is it a multi-year deal? Is it a one-year deal? Is it going to go to arbitration? That is obviously priority number one for the Blues. But think about some of these restricted free agents as well. Joel Edmondson's a restricted free agent. He signed a one-year, $3 million deal this past offseason. Almost went to arbitration. He may be looking for a multi-year deal. You have Oscar Sundquist, Ivan Barbashev, Zach Sanford, Sammy Blay, and Robbie Fabry, all restricted free agents, all of whom who have gotten through their entry-level contract and will be looking for some type of upgrade from what they were making in the $100,000 marks. And then the unrestricted side, Pat Maroon, Carl Gunnarsson. My gut, Pat Maroon's back. But there's going to be some maneuvering for Doug Armstrong. And I know Blues fans want to find some power play results as well. So 17.2 may seem like a lot, but that's a lot of players you got to get signed under the cap. It's going to be an interesting offseason. But We're done with offseason. Let's go back and relive the Stanley Cup championship game. That comes your way at the top of the hour next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.